From Carol McKinney Public Media in Oviedo, Florida.
Archie Carr, the great naturalist of the 20th century, once wrote, "If this difficult saving of wild places and wild animals is to be done, it won't be because of practicality alone. It'll be because man is a creature who preserves those things that stir him." And folks have been stirred by the Wakaiva. It's probably one of the best protected rivers in the country.
That was the voice of Bill Belleville of the Friends of the Wakaiva River. This citizens' action group has worked for 30 years to preserve and protect the Wakaiva River Basin. I'm Desta Horner, and the original 19 members of the Friends of the Wakaiva River chartered the organization in 1982. Initially, their goal was to prevent wastewater from Altamont Springs from being dumped in the Wakaiva River. But in the decades since, they have safeguarded the river from development and pollution. In addition, they successfully helped pass the Wakaiva River Protection Act, encouraged the acquisition of additional land around the river, and in 2000, Congress declared the Wakaiva a national wild and scenic river. The Friends of the Wakaiva River stands as the watchdog and patron for the river and its fragile ecosystem. Among the founders of the Friends of the Wakaiva River were Russ and Katie Moncrief. For 27 years, they operated Katie's Landing, an iconic destination for local and foreign visitors. Offering canoeing and kayaking from Wakaiva Springs to the St. John's, and providing cabins and camping, Katie's Landing became the place to go if you wanted to experience the real wild and scenic Florida. When Russ and Katie decided to retire, they sold their six-acre business site to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection so that it could become part of the Wakaiva River Basin Preserve. The grand opening of the new state facility of Katie's Landing was marked on April 21, 2012, at a ceremony honoring Russ and Katie Moncrief. Katie Moncrief's comments at the event bring back fond memories to Seminole County residents of the activities at Katie's Landing.
Russ and I have so many, many funny stories that took place in the 27 years that we owned this property. It probably wasn't the smartest move we ever made to manage this place together. The first 17 years I managed it while Russ was still at Seminole Community College. And when he retired, we tried sharing that responsibility. Shortly after that, he had an important meeting when a young woman pouring punch said, "Oh, I know you. You're Russ Moncrief. You're the maintenance man at Katie's Landing." It sort of tells you who won the management issue. Water was a constant challenge. If you have ever tasted the water in this part of the county, you will know what I'm talking about. Salt, sulfur, and iron. Since we were furnishing water to at least 150 people, Russ attended classes to learn how to understand and manage our water system, but we still sold lots of bottled water from the store. The most exciting part of being at the Landing was the foreign visitors. Paddlers and campers from all over the world came to Katie's and probably still are. American and British Airlines brought their crews to paddle the Little Wakaiva 9-mile trip. Eastern European countries began to find us, and hundreds of Japanese found us also. We felt we offered a significant diversion, a world of nature in its most magnificent state. I led full moon trips once a month. A huge candle sat in the stern of my canoe so the paddlers could see and follow me. But that didn't stop Russ from worrying about the liability. He would be waiting at the Landing to greet us with a huge smile and help us out of our canoes. We offered 6 different canoe kayak trips covering all of the basin every day, 7 days a week in the spring and summer, 12-hour days. We were open on Christmas Day and every other holiday. The canoe kayaking was enjoyable. Camping and RVs, not so enjoyable. But the camping part kept us afloat monetarily. The canoeing and kayaking and motorboats kept us broke. But since we felt we were honestly offering the public the opportunity to see this magnificent basin intimately, we could not and did not discontinue those trips. We were a popular destination for the category Off the Beaten Track. Russ and I wanted to thank you wholeheartedly for making it possible to buy this property and preserve it. Otherwise, right now, Russ would be down at the waterfront with his beloved motorboats. I would be down at the waterfront putting out my beloved canoes and kayaks, and at the same time registering people for campsites and log cabins. So really, thank you, GP. We could have sold it to a developer, and today you would see 6 1-acre lots with huge houses on it. It became obvious to us back then that DEP was clearly our only possible direction to go for a buyer because they could preserve the 6 acres plus. And as you can see, they have preserved what should have been preserved. Because Katie's is an Indian midden, they covered the whole property with a black mesh in order to protect the priceless 3,000 to 5,000-year-old Indian pottery shards. We took a tree inventory 15 years ago and came up with 200 live oaks, 400 other native species. We think DEP did an amazing job of preserving all of the natural features of this property. While the work was being accomplished here, the landing was closed for over a year, and we all realized how important it was to have this beautiful park to not only fish and picnic, but to launch and take out our canoes and boats. 2 years ago, Russ said, come on, get in the car. I have a surprise for you. We went over to the Wekiva Springs State Park, went into the working shed, and lying against a building was a sign saying Katie's Landing. I was thrilled and honored as I am today.
All right. This is really quite an honor to be up here today. This is just a little small 6-acre parcel that's part of the 41,000 acres that makes up the Wekiva River Basin State Parks. It was interesting because that story about the sign was Katie and I had talked about it. She goes, what are you going to name that place up there? And I was like, I don't think it would be known for anything else other than Katie's Landing. So it was quite an honor to be able to continue that. And that should remain forever.
The voice you heard recognizing the opening of the new Katie's Landing was Warren Poplin. He is the manager of the 41,000 acres of the Wekiva Basin State Parks. I asked him about the importance of Katie's Landing.
Well, Katie's Landing is a small 6-acre parcel, which is part of Lower Wekiva Preserve. And the important aspect of Katie's Landing is, A, it gives an exceptional opportunity for the public to access the river. And it is a beautiful example of the Wekiva River when you go down there. There are picnic tables, canoe launch, and fishing from the bank. It's really a beautiful little slice of paradise.
When you leave from Katie's Landing and get on the river, if you go one direction, what do you hit? If you go the other direction, what do you get?
If you're going upstream, you'll end up to where Wekiva Springs starts. And you'll pass the confluence of Rock Springs and Wekiva Springs. And those two themselves create the Wekiva River. And then if you go towards the other direction with the flow, you'll end up at the mouth of the Wekiva River, and that ties into the St. John's.
So technically, you could go from Katie's Landing all the way to Jacksonville.
You'd need to paddle for an awful long time, but yes, you could make it.
The waters flowing from Wekiva Springs and Rock Springs into the St. John's drain the Wekiva River Basin, a precious natural preserve of fresh water. The preserve basin and surrounding 238 square miles of spring shed are a sensitive environment. Deborah Shelley of the Florida Department of Environmental Protection has intimate knowledge of that important aquatic system. I asked her how the average citizen of Seminole County can help in preserving the Wekiva River and its environment.
There are 5 strategies folks can do to help protect the Wekiva River, and one of them is use less fertilizer or slow-release fertilizer. If you have a septic tank, you can have it inspected, and if you need to, have it pumped out every 5 years. That's a great strategy. You can plant native or drought-tolerant plants. A lot of our native species, shrubs and ground cover, just do fabulously in this environment without a lot of water. And you could use less pesticides or herbicides, or use them only when absolutely necessary. And folks can write a letter to their local government or county or state legislator and let them know that they support protecting the Wekiva River Basin.
Is there one source of funding for the protection of the Wekiva Basin?
There are a variety of governmental entities working towards protecting the Wakaiva River. You have the Water Management District, you have Department of Environmental Protection, you have the local counties, Seminole Lake, Orange County. Everyone is working together to do their part. And there are also some residents. We have an army of volunteers, Friends of the Wakaiva River, other local citizens groups, Wakaiva Wilderness Trust. A lot of people are working to help. One project is to remove exotic plants manually from the river. Because it's a flowing system, you can't apply herbicide to those plants, so you have to remove them manually. So we have folks who come out with us and help us, you know, on an exotic plant day, and we remove plants from the river. Everyone working together in wonderful and strong partnerships to protect the river.
So it's taxpayers at the county level, taxpayers at the state level. Everybody is kicking in either money or hard work and effort to keep it good.
That's correct. Everyone's trying to do their part.
The next generation will be called on to do their part for the future of the Wakaiva River.
My name is Aiden Michael Hawthorne.
Aiden, what did you learn today? I saw you over by the microscope looking at bugs.
I learned different kinds of bugs and different things that they like do and stuff.
And what are you going to do now?
I'm going to go kayaking.
What are you hoping to see out there on the river?
Alligators, fish.
The Wakaiva River will continue to be preserved because, as Bill Belville said, it is one of those things that stir us. We've posted pictures of the ceremony at Katie's Landing and a link to the Friends of the Wakaiva River on the CMF website. You may also wish to listen to the companion audio podcast of the BioBlitz 2012 that was also held at Katie's Landing on April 21st. The scientists of BioBlitz present the results of their efforts to document the species of plants and animals in the Wakaiva River Basin State Parks. Should you wish to comment on this podcast, we have provided an online process for you to offer your reaction to this feature. And you might also wish to email a link to this feature to someone who might value hearing it. If you wish to contact CMF Media, click on the Contact tab and send us an email. While at the website, we encourage you to visit our archive section for more stories about the people, politics, and history of our community. And while you're there, consider subscribing to the program content using the RSS feature we provide for your feed reader, or subscribe using iTunes. Once subscribed, you will be alerted immediately to each new feature we produce and post. You may prefer to subscribe to CMF's free e-letter, so we may keep you up to date on new programs as they are posted. Or stay in touch by following CMF on Twitter and Facebook. CMF Public Media is a nonprofit, publicly supported charity. Information about CMF is available on the homepage of the website. For CMF Public Media, this is Desta Horner.
Support for CMF Public Media is made possible in part by the Friends of Carol McKinney, who encourage you to make a tax-deductible gift in support of the programming activities of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media.
You may give online at cmfmedia.org, where you may also see a complete list of those friends in the donor section of the website.
This podcast is a presentation of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media, Incorporated.
Visit cmfmedia.org for more information.
This is Judith Dolores Smith for CMF Public Media.
And this is Michael Hominick.